The University of Minnesota Solar Vehicle Project team recently finished in second place overall in the 2014 American Solar Challenge, which is an 8-day, 1,700-mile solar car stage race through seven states from Austin, Texas to Minneapolis. Joining us now on the phone is Jake Herbers, one of the Minnesota team members, to tell us more about this year's event and solar cars in general. Jake is a mechanical engineering major and the lead navigator on the team. Jake Herbers, welcome to the Roadhouse.
Hi, it's great to be on with you guys.
Before we get into the race itself, which we definitely have to, let's start with a little background on the American Solar Challenge. Can you give us a little history of it and or what it is?
Sure. So solar car racing started back in 1987 with the World Solar Challenge in Australia, and that race was won by a team from General Motors. And that inspired them to start a race in America, and it was first called Sun Race, race with a Y, that is. Mm-hmm. And the first one was in 1990, and since then it's been held every 2 to 3 years. Back about 10 years ago, it was renamed the American Solar Challenge, and it usually has about 10 to 20, maybe 25 teams in it, pretty much all colleges from around America and usually a few teams from Canada as well.
Are there qualification or qualifying rounds or anything in order to get into the race itself?
Yep. When you get to the event, there were 3 days of what they call scrutineering, which is basically the engineers on the American Solar Challenge staff inspect all the team's cars, make sure they live up to the standards and all the regulations they set. The point of that is to make sure the cars are safe to drive and that they're not putting the drivers at risk or other teams at risk. And then once you pass all those inspections, there's a 3-day track race. This year it was at Circuit of the Americas in Austin, Texas, which is the biggest Formula One racetrack in North America. And that goes for 3 days, and you have to get a certain number of laps on the track in those 3 days in order to qualify for the road race.
Do you go solo around in your car, or do you race against other cars while you're on the track?
Yep, all the cars were on the track at the same time.
Oh, really?
Yep.
You guys obviously qualified. How many vehicles qualified?
I believe there were 10 teams that qualified for the road race, and a couple of them had to drop out right away because they consistently qualified. So, 8 of those teams made it to the finish line.
Are there standards in addition to safety standards that are designed to make the competition even, or is it no holds barred on what you can engineer?
Yeah, there's a few regulations that try to make it more fair. The cars all have to be within certain dimensions. The drivers of the car, if they weigh below 176 pounds, we have to add ballast to the car, so a team can't get an advantage by using a really light driver.
Okay, so whatever you add to the car by way of a driver has to be a minimum. You have to achieve at least 176 pounds. I assume you can go over it. That's your problem. Let's talk about the University of Minnesota program, first of all. It's called the University of Minnesota Solar Vehicle Project. What's the background of that? How long has that been in place, and then tell us about your role.
Our team started in 1990 after the first Sun Race. Some students here thought it was really cool and decided to start a team here. So we've competed in every American Solar Challenge since 1993, and we've gotten second place in that event 5 times now.
Oh, really? Oh, man, that's you got to keep trying, that's for sure, huh?
Yep.
So, okay, let's get into the 2014 race. Describe the University of Minnesota car, and maybe how does it differ from the 1993 version?
The car we raced this year is very aerodynamic. It has 3 wheels. It has a very efficient electrical system, and in comparison, the car we raced in 1993 was probably about, I don't know, 5 times as heavy. Technology's advanced a lot since then.
I noticed on the website for the race itself that they give the dimensions and the weights of all the vehicles, and it looked like the top three vehicles were all, I think it was less than 180 kilos, something like that. Is that your recollection?
Yeah, that sounds right. Weight savings is one of the most important considerations we have when designing the car. It just has to be heavy enough, and we have to get all that weight balanced enough so that we don't have the risk of rolling over when we're driving.
The wind, I imagine you got to be careful not to have it so light that it'll flip right over.
Yeah. The University of Michigan's car that won the race is extremely light and a bit smaller than ours. They had problems with them getting blown around the road a little bit when there were high crosswinds, but they managed to make it through without crashing or anything.
Have they ever won before?
Yeah, Michigan has won it eight out of the 12 races there have
been.
So.
Well, you guys got to keep going because you want to take them down, I hope. Actually, I noticed on one leg you beat them by a minute, I think, or something like that. They had the times in there for the different stages. But in general, they were the fastest car on most stages, weren't they?
Yep, that's right. They're the team that everybody else guns for. They benefit a lot from being close to Detroit and all those Motor City companies.
Mm-hmm.
You're a mechanical engineering student, right?
Right.
What different kinds of students are involved in this project? Because it sounds to me like it's sort of a cross-disciplinary effort, which is one of the cool things about it.
That's right. We'll accept any student who wants to be on the team, even if they're not in engineering. Main three majors that are represented on the team are mechanical engineering, electrical engineering, and aerospace engineering.
And do you have faculty advisors? Or is it all students?
We do have a faculty advisor. He basically acts as a liaison to the university for us. But generally, we run everything ourselves. It's entirely student-led. He doesn't come into the race with us or anything. So.
And obviously, the two main factors making this up, not two main factors, two big factors are the solar panels themselves and the batteries. You have to store electricity, right? Tell us about both, the solar panels and the batteries. What kind of technology do you use, and where are they made?
You're right. Those are two of the most important components of the car. The solar panels, we get them from, we got them from a company called SunPower, and students from our team encapsulated them onto the car with the help from 3M here in the Twin Cities. They kind of used us as an experimental testbed for some of their new technologies they're developing at 3M. So we have a special film that goes on top of the solar cells that helps to capture non-direct sunlight. And then we have the solar cells wired up to connect into the battery so we can go probably drive a few hours, even if there's no sunlight out, if we have a full battery.
And what kind of batteries do you use?
They're lithium ion.
Okay, so these are not lead acid batteries or whatever they... I mean, but they still have to... That must be a big part of the weight.
Yeah. According to the regulations, we can have up to 20 kilograms of lithium ion batteries.
And that's what you have?
Yep, every team will get as many as they can take.
Does anybody use anything other than lithium-ion batteries?
There are some teams that still use the lead-acid ones, but they're not as efficient.
If you have just joined us now, we are speaking with Jake Herbers, who is a mechanical engineering student and the lead navigator on the University of Minnesota's solar car team that just finished second in the American Solar Challenge. A race from Austin, Texas to Minneapolis. And to get from Austin, Texas to Minneapolis, you're on public roads the whole way, right?
That's correct. We don't go on like I-35 or anything. The route is mostly like state highways.
Do you have protection that goes along with you? I mean, chase cars and lead cars and that sort of thing?
Yep, we're required by law to have a chase car with it at all times because we have it registered as an experimental vehicle. And in addition to that, their race requires us to have a lead vehicle ahead of it at all times. So those three vehicles are called the Solar Car Caravan. And we also have a trailer that goes on a different route, so we can store the car in there at night. And we have a scout vehicle that goes about 20 miles ahead of us on the route, just to make sure there aren't any unexpected obstacles.
And you, at least at the beginning, you had 10 teams doing this, right? I mean, did you all start at the same time, or do you start at intervals?
Yep, we all started at the University of Texas campus down in Austin, and they start the cars in one-minute intervals, so there's a little time to get spread out.
How fast could your car go, Jake?
We probably averaged about 45 miles an hour on the race, and our top speed we hit was 65.
Wow. Where was that, and how did you get that fast?
It was probably going down a hill.
So there were some hills between Austin and Minneapolis. Not many, but there are some. Tell us about some of the challenges that you met in this year's race.
Well, we were at the Formula One track down in Austin, and I believe it was the third day of the qualifying race, the last day of that. We woke up in the morning and got an early wake-up call from the race officials. It turns out that another team had been charging their battery overnight at the track, and their battery caught on fire. It got put out by the sprinkler system in there, which is good, but unfortunately, a lot of teams had all their equipment flooded by the sprinkler system, including ours. So that delayed us for a few hours on the track trying to fix our electrical equipment from the flooding, but we were still able to barely qualify for the road race.
How about cloudy days? Is that a problem?
Yeah, there was one day it suddenly got cloudy, very cloudy, and I don't think any of the teams were expecting it to be that bad, so we all dropped our speeds to around 35, and it was pretty slow and boring. I think that was going through Kansas or something.
And did you have any trouble with heat? I mean, too much sun?
We didn't really have any problems with that this year.
I saw somewhere where you were spraying the panels with water, or deionized water, whatever that is. And tell me, why were you doing that?
Yeah, pretty much every team does that when we're at a stop and we tilt the solar panels toward the sun to get the maximum amount of sunlight, and we spray it with the water because the cells are more efficient at lower temperatures.
And do you have any difficulty with keeping the vehicle on the road, wind, or anything like that?
There weren't a lot of difficulties for our team with that. Like I said before, Michigan was a little affected by some crosswinds later in the race, but there were no accidents.
So we had Michigan, Minnesota, and Iowa, 1, 2, 3. What differences did you observe between the cars that made that order of finish what it was?
Well, Michigan's car is lighter than ours. It's more aerodynamic than ours. And they were generally targeting the speed about 5 miles an hour faster than we were going the whole time.
And you think that mostly is because of aerodynamics?
Yeah, I would say that's the main reason.
So what did you learn from that? You guys going to copy Michigan now?
Possibly. I mean, we like to have a certain standard of safety on our cars. We do have a reputation for having very safe cars. And going into the next design cycle, we'll have to take a look at that and balance the aerodynamics, weight, and safety.
You always also have a reputation for coming in second every time. So you got to get rid of that one too, right? You go ahead and copy those guys.
Yes, that is also true.
I gather since you've been in it so many times already, the University of Minnesota at any rate, you do plan to enter the next one whenever it comes.
Yep, we're designing our new car for the 2015 World Solar Challenge in Australia.
Oh, really?
And we'll probably take that to the 2016 American Solar Challenge. a race that are held every 2 years.
How do you think the U.S. does in the world championships?
American teams usually do pretty well, generally it's been dominated by the Netherlands and Japan.
Really? Is that because of the... it couldn't be the size of the drivers, because Dutch are pretty large people. Okay, tell us just briefly, are there practical implications for what you do in this race? I mean, are there developments that come from this that might be of benefit to solar cell technology and battery technology?
Yeah, we like to think there are practical implications from this. Each team, when they design the car, they try to do something different with it every time, try to think of something that nobody else has thought of before for the car. And a lot of solar car team members, when they graduate, end up getting hired by companies like Tesla Motors, for example. They're making the new electric cars.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of solar car members you'll see in the future working on those cutting-edge technologies in their career.
Well, there's a lot of info online, and you have a website, or the University of Minnesota has a web, umnsvp.org, and that has a link in it to the American Solar Channel Challenge.org, which is the race itself. Well, it's been great talking to you, Jake.
You can go to our website, umnsvp.org, like you said. We also have a Facebook page and a Twitter page.
Okay. All right, Jake. Well, thanks, and good luck to the University of Minnesota as it seeks to beat Michigan next time. I wish you good luck for the future.
Thank you very much. It's been fun being on here with you guys.